live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Reformation Day on this 31st day of October 2025. Before I introduce to you my special guest to celebrate Reformation Day, I want to remind you folks, since we are beginning next week into, or actually tomorrow, we are entering into the final 2 months of 2025, and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio really needs your financial support more than ever. We've lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which I'm sure many of you are very familiar with, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who have been supporting this show ever since we relaunched Iron Sharpens Iron Radio after relocating from New York to Pennsylvania, since they are a local company. Well, they were a local company here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And after 50 years of business, they permanently closed their doors several weeks ago. So we need that money replenished and replaced. So, and there are other, one other advertiser, major advertiser, dropped their sponsorship from us, and we have possibly one or two more right on the heels of that that may cancel. So we really need your help. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. But today, I'm very excited to have one of my favorite guests of all time, and I know one of the favorite guests of many in our audience due to the public demand for his frequent return. His name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and the author of the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity. And it was interesting, I just met for the very first time a brother here in Pennsylvania named John, who was in attendance at a Bible conference at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg. And he is now a regular monthly donor to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And he told me that he ordered that 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism as a result of hearing my guest, Dr. Joe Moorcraft, on the show. But today, we are going to be addressing Protestant traitors to the Reformation who claim to be its heirs. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my old and faithful friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
It's always enjoyable to have me on your program, Chris.
Amen. Well, I ditto that. And if you could, let our listeners know something about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia.
Heritage Presbyterian Church is a small congregation in the Reformed Presbyterian Church Hanover Presbytery. We are committed to the inerrancy of Scripture, the carrying out of the Great Commission, and the Westminster Confession of Faith and larger catechisms spell out our basic doctrinal commitment. We have people that come from various backgrounds, and watching God weave them into one is one of the most exciting things I've ever seen in my ministry before. We have a new thing now that I want to tell you about. We have, I have box after box after box full of papers and articles and booklets and things that either have gone out of print or were never published. And so Kelly Ling, a woman in our church, is putting them all on PDF files. And if you will go to Heritage Presbyterian Church, and there's a link that says free something, free stuff, free products, something like that.
Free resources, yeah. I see that right now.
Yeah, free resources. That there's 50, 60, 70 things by me that are free for the taking, and that's just the beginning of what she's doing.
Praise God.
She's making great efforts of cleaning up articles, publishing them, and she is making a great contribution to the extension of my ministry. So everything that's on that link is free for the taking.
Amen. And that website is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, and remember to click on free resources. Well, Dr. Moorcraft, you and I both know that it is not necessarily always an easy thing if you just look at the name on a church sign or if you hear what a particular Christian, if you hear the way they identify themselves. They may identify themselves as a Reformed Protestant or a Presbyterian or in some other fashion. It's not an easy thing anymore to immediately say, oh, that is a sound body of believers, a sound congregation, or a sound brother or sister in Christ, because of the fact there are many who claim to be heirs of the Reformation who have really become traitors. And I know that sounds harsh to a lot of folks, but they have indeed become traitors to the main pillars of the Reformation. And to give you one example, I know one way in which that has occurred in greater frequency in our day and age. You have more and more Reformed thinkers, Reformed pastors, Reformed seminary professors, Reformed authors, who have become extremely ecumenical with the Church of Rome. And they, for some strange reason, even if they are brilliant at exegeting the scriptures and can tell you exactly what the gospel is and what it means, many of these men seem to, for some bizarre reason, think that that issue is of lower importance than the doctrine of the Trinity and other things, which are very important issues. But they do not, in my opinion, eclipse the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it an unnecessary aspect of the Christian life. But anyway, I'll let you pick up where I just left off, Dr. Moorcraft, on the traitors to the Reformation.
This is such an important subject, and it is going to require great discernment of anybody today that wants to go to a Bible-believing, thoroughly Reformed, Orthodox Presbyterian church. Like you just said, the name on the church may mean nothing. And so I would like to start back a long way before the men we're going to talk about. And by the way, the Bible does mention names. Paul mentioned names. Paul corrected Peter to his face. It's not always pleasant, that it's never enjoyable to name names, but people will say to me, well, this guy says a lot of good things. He says bad things, but he says a lot of good things, too. And I tell them that that is the most dangerous kind of wolf there is.
Yeah.
A wolf in wolf garments is easy to spot. And you could avoid him, and you could know not to go there. But when the wolf is wearing sheep's clothing, and he says a lot of right things in the midst of his wrong things, he's the most dangerous, because you don't know when to trust him. You have got to develop discernment to determine where you're going to take your family to church, or you will be negatively affected by them. I love the definition of Charles Spurgeon. I've used it many times on this show. And that is, discernment is not the ability to distinguish right from wrong. It is the ability to distinguish right from almost right.
Huh.
And particularly, heads of families have got to know, like the sons of Issachar, they've got to know their times, and they've got to know what to tell Israel to do. That is, they've got to know the Bible. They've got to constantly speak the Bible into the culture they live in, which means they've got to know what's going on around them. They can't just watch baseball games or football games or basketball games. They've got to read. They can't just stay on the couch and sleep, even though they've been hardworking throughout the day. They've got to read. They've got to learn what the Bible does teach. They've got to learn what we should expect from Reformed churches, and we've got to learn the nature of the culture and the denominations that we live in today. All of this started with mistakes the early church made. The things that are happening today, and I'm not so much talking about liberals, people that have denounced the inerrancy of Scripture, they are so eaten up with apostasy. I'm not necessarily talking about those churches. Those will be easy to spot. I'm talking about the evangelical churches and Reformed churches that have betrayed the faith either intentionally or unintentionally. And these churches today, and as a result, they've lost the Reformation. The early church made some of the same mistakes that the evangelical or Reformed churches make today, though for completely different motives and reasons. When the last apostle died in the first century, the preachers had to depend upon themselves now for exposition. As long as apostles were alive, they could go to apostles and get the infallible Word of God and the interpretation of the Word of God straight from their mouths. But now those Holy Ghost-inspired apostles are gone, and they've got to interpret the Scripture correctly. And as a result, they made several doctrinal mistakes at the early church. In some ways, although I highly respect them, they were godly men, courageous men and women, being willing to be fed to the lions and give up faith. But they were so anxious to spread the gospel in Rome, in a Roman Greek culture. They were so excited about it. They wanted everybody to know about Christ. And most of the stuff they got right. But some they got wrong because they made this mistake. They said, in effect, well, if we can put the gospel in Greek philosophical terms, maybe it will be easier for the Greeks to swallow and the Romans to swallow and become Christians. That was a deadly mistake. That's like the camel sticking his head in the door of the tent, and then eventually the whole camel will come in. So the early church didn't betray the faith intentionally. They unknowingly betrayed the faith because of godly motives. But today we have betrayers of the faith who are doing the same thing and work, but not for godly motive. I've often wondered why many scholars have refused to even believe biblical creationism, and why many, many evangelical and reformed preachers refuse to believe in a young earth view of the creation of the world. And I think the reason is several. Number one, they want non-Christians to view them as intellectuals. They want to defend and propagate a reputation that would make the world of scholarship appreciate them and be thankful for them. In other words, they were consumed with self-love, are consumed. For instance, today we have a phenomenon of celebrity preachers. And God is striking down celebrity preachers one after another by adultery, fraud, death. Celebrity preachers will tell you they believe the Reformed faith. They believe in the historic doctrines of the church. But then they restate them in a way, whereas most people cannot see that they are restating these historical doctrines and saying something completely different. Their primary concern in the pulpit, and I know a lot of these people, their basic concern in the pulpit is to maintain their celebrity status, not to be faithful to the historical truth of God. There's one particular man in Atlanta who has two or three churches, tens of thousands of people in each church. His father was evangelical fundamentalist. This man's name is Andy Stanley. And he has, in my opinion, deliberately betrayed the faith. In fact, he says such things as this: if we're going to understand the gospel, we must unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. Or he'd say something like, if all you have as a basis for believing in the resurrection of Christ is the Bible, you don't have enough. And so he says, my faith in the resurrection does not depend upon the Bible. So a lot of these people who come from evangelical backgrounds, they have a desire to be celebrities. They want to be, they don't want to be ridiculed or ignorant fundamentalists. They want to have mega churches, so that those churches can be written about in church magazines and religious magazines, and so that the world can see what great preachers they are. Understand that the Bible, particularly the book of Jude and various other books of the New Testament, do not speak of false doctrines kindly, false preachers. They do not. Everything they say about them is negative. They say, well, at least they're effective preachers, or at least they believe some right things. The Bible doesn't do that. The Bible says, like, for instance, in Philippians, if anybody comes to you preaching another gospel that I preach unto you, let him be damned. And he says it twice in one sentence. And Paul said, I'm in prison, and I'm giving people suffering for Christ, and I'm giving people much more reason to be courageous. And those even who disagreed with my methods are going to start believing the truth. So, but the point is, he said, did not say those who believe another gospel are going to be courageous. Just different methods. And so there is only one gospel. And the gospel of a blended gospel, a synthetic gospel, has never saved anybody from hell. The only gospel that saves anybody from hell is the pure, unadulterated, historical, orthodox Bible Gospel of the Bible.
Amen. And isn't it true that one clear proof of what you just said are the Judaizers? We don't know of any difference in theology that the Judaizers had with the Apostle Paul, other than they insisted that Gentiles become circumcised in order to become Christians. That one thing compelled Paul to declare that it was a false gospel, which is no gospel at all, and that those who teach such a gospel are to be accursed.
Yes, sir. In fact, I think that the sin that has been plagued the church the most and the longest is the seed of the false doctrine of syncretism. That is, blending Christianity with some other philosophy or worldview. You can go all the way back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel went into the promised land. The first generation were godly, were faithful. The second generation intermarried with the Canaanites. The third generation worshiped the gods of the Canaanites. You remember the golden calf that Aaron made in the wilderness when Moses was so long in the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. What did they call that golden calf? They called him Jehovah. They were trying to worship Jehovah by means of Egyptian religious practices. And in the Old Testament Israel, when she became a nation, what was the big trouble all the time? The struggle was between the worship of Jehovah and Baalism, putting them two together, those two together, throughout the history of the church. And ever since the early church, people have tried to blend Christianity with some humanistic philosophy all the way to this day. So that what modern evangelicals, they think they have the gospel. And some Reformed people who are more simply evangelical than Reformed. By evangelical, I don't mean evangelistic. We ought to be evangelistic. I'm for evangelism. I practice evangelism. By God's grace, I've started several churches in my lifetime. So it's not evangelism. Evangelicalism is simply an attempt to understand the gospel without the distinctives of the Reformed faith and of the Protestant Reformation. And so the thing we must be committed to is this gospel must be pure and unadulterated, or it will not save anybody from their sins. And what modern evangelicals think is the pure gospel is medieval scholasticism. The gospel of most evangelicals today is the gospel of the Roman Catholic Church during the Middle Ages. And what did the gospel of the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages say? It say this was after Augustine. Augustine lived in the 4th century, 5th century. And was he led the early church back to the great doctrines of free grace, of sovereignty of God's grace in the salvation of sinners. John Calvin said simply, I'm an Augustinian. Augustine spent so much time making sure the church would return to the great doctrines of grace, predestination, irresistible grace, limited atonement, total depravity, perseverance of the saints, all those things, that he didn't examine and evaluate the Roman Catholic view of the church and sacrament. As Benjamin Warfield said one time, he spent so much time trying to get the gospel right that he was still Roman Catholic in his view of the church and the sacraments. But Warfield said, if Augustine had lived 10 more years, he would have had every doctrine straight, and he would have corrected his doctrine of the church and the sacraments. So Augustine was a great influence on the church till about the 13th century. Thomas Aquinas, brilliant man, becomes a powerful influence on the church, disagreed with Augustine. Augustine said, the only way you can understand anything in life is by means of the Word of God. Thomas Aquinas said, there's a lot of things you have to take the Bible to understand, but you don't need the Bible to understand everything, because you can use proper use of reason, you can figure out things in life. So the church started compromising its historical stand, and it developed the gospel something like this. Everybody has the ability to believe in Jesus whenever they take a notion to. They just need a little nudge by the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit has nudged you and you receive Christ, and you're born again, then you get the grace to earn the rest of your salvation. Now, modern evangelicals say this, and I want your ears to listen carefully. The compromised gospel today says this: you must believe in Jesus in order to be born again. I often ask people whether that sin's true or false. You must believe in Jesus in order to be born again. It's false. How much believing can a dead man do? The Bible's doctrine, the doctrine of the historical Reformed faith, is God must give you faith to believe in Jesus. And he gives you faith by the new birth. So you must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit in order to believe in Christ. John 1 says, Jesus came into the world that he made, and they rejected him. He came into his own, and they rejected him. But there were many that received him and believed on his name. That's verse 12, paraphrase. And verse 13 says, because the sentence goes on to verse 13, verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, comma, who were born, not of the will, not of the flesh, not of blood, but who were born of God. And that past tense, were born of God, puts it prior to the faith, because that's the cause of faith, and that is the cause of our receptive care. So evangelicals adopted a doctrine very similar to the medieval scholasticism, but also what they don't realize. In 1619, the entire Reformed Church of Europe, fled France because the Roman Catholic government would not let the French Calvinists go. The Reformed Church in every country in Europe met at a place called Dort, 1619, and in Holland. And that was to evaluate the teachings of the followers of a man named Arminius.
In fact, could you pick up where you left off on Arminius when we come back from our first commercial break?
Sure.
Great. And if anybody wants to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the Larger Catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, this is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Our guest for the day is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, and we are talking about Protestant traitors to the Reformation who claim to be its heirs. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We already have some people waiting to have their questions asked and answered, but I'm going to let Dr. Moorcraft pick up where he left off first when he started the discussion of Jacob Arminius. And by the way, I wanted to read the exact wording of that a wonderful quote by B.B. Warfield that you were explaining earlier. The exact quote is, "The Reformation inwardly considered was the ultimate triumph of Augustine's doctrine of grace over Augustine's doctrine of the church." That was the exact quote, and I love that quote.
That's a great quote.
But you had began to mention Jacob Arminius.
Yes, Jacob Arminius was a teacher at Geneva, and in public he would pretend that he was Reformed. But in private, he would attack the basic Reformed truths and taught an entirely different system of doctrine, an entirely different understanding of the gospel. So all of the Reformed churches of Europe met at Dordt, Holland, at the Synod, meaning Assembly, of Dordt, 1619, to evaluate these doctrines, and they came to the conclusion the United Reformed Churches of Europe condemned Arminius's doctrine and gospel as heresy, and any of the preachers at that time that believed that doctrine, they expelled from the ministry, and in Holland, maybe doing a little far, they expelled them from the citizenship of they deported them from Holland. That's how terrible they thought Arminius's doctrines were. Most evangelicals today believe in Arminius's gospel, which during the Protestant Reformation was condemned by the Reformed churches, and Lutheran churches would have done it too as well. And they don't even know it. One of the things that the Roman Catholic did, just give you an example of how those who don't believe the truth deliberately mislead people, acting like they believe the truth, but then teaching something that's contrary to it. Michelangelo was a great medieval artist, of course. Everybody knows of him. And there's two things. Of all the various paintings and statues he did, there are two very important ones. One is the Virgin Mary nursing the baby Jesus. So it's very explicit. The Virgin Mary is nursing the baby Jesus. But then when the people of that day saw the face of the Virgin Mary, they realized the model for that picture was the mistress of the king. So that everybody was looking at the breast of the mistress of the king. He knew what he was doing when he did that. And then, of course, one of the greatest sculptures in all of history is David. I mean, it's majestic. And so everybody thinks that here you have King David. Just an example of how Michelangelo believed historical Christianity. The only problem is that the great statue, David, is uncircumcised. And I guarantee you that David, as the king of England, king of Israel, bore the sign of the covenant in his own body. So who is that statue? That statue's not King David. He was just using his name to make people think he was a Christian. That is man. In all of his glory and in all of his superiority, that's not David. That is man, the measure of all things. So, I mean, most Christians would not even think about those things because the one that did it was a Christian. And throughout history, that's the way false teachers, they are, to use the words of Paul in Romans, they are smooth talkers. They know how to use our words and change their meanings entirely. When the Pilgrims and the Puritans came to this country in the 1600s, these people were Calvinists. They were children of the Reformation. But they had the mistake, I think, ignorantly. This book by Terry Eldon called The Guise of Every Graceless Heart is about the demise of New England Puritanism. What happened to it? It one time dominated all of New England. And then, as I said, later, it within several years, not that many years, about the 1830s, most of the great Puritan churches were gone in New England, and they were Unitarian churches. And Unitarianism is humanistic. It believes that reason is the source of truth. There is no infallible Bible. The Bible is not true. Man is not basically evil. He's basically good. And man can be perfectible by the state. If the state has compulsory state education and socialism controlling all areas of society. So they fell. And like the man said there in that book, their Thomism ate up their Augustinianism. Well, that Thomism means you don't need the Bible to understand some things. You've got to understand it by reason. Augustinianism said you need the Bible to understand anything. So, believing that there was some room for reason being the source of truth and a proper use of reason without the Bible being a source of truth, that eventually led that blend, that synthesis, eventually led to the demise of Puritanism.
Now, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but just to clarify, does not Romans 1 teach that even nature on its own gives man enough knowledge of God to leave him without excuse? It's not enough to bring him to salvation, but he is without excuse.
What it says is its effect on man is negative.
Right.
A man has he cannot find God by use of reason in nature. You cannot seek God, or the Bible says there's none that seeks after God, no, not one. So that somebody that is hardened in his unbelief and his humanism is not going to seek God. The revelation of God in nature is so clear and so inescapable that if anybody does not see the glory of God in every blade of grass, he is completely inexcusable. So God uses the revelation of himself in nature to hold a sinner inexcusable for his unbelief. The law is written on our consciences so that our consciences condemn us when we do bad things and congratulates us when we do good things, but because of the effect of sin on our consciences, it's never proper to say, let conscience be your guide. We must always let the Word of God be our guide and make sure our consciences are cleansed by the blood of Christ and are educated by the Holy Spirit with the Word of God.
So Jiminy Cricket was a heretic because he was the one that's saying, always let your conscience be your guide.
Yeah, right. Right. And so, in the South, as I said, Unitarianism did not make much of a headway. 1830s, there were only about 8 Unitarian churches, as I said. They were going bankrupt. And the reason it didn't make such an impact is because of the strong covenantal Reformed faith of the South. But it took a while to break the back. So the Civil War, the war between the states, was a war fought by the power brokers of the North to break the back of the South's influence on federal government. And so that Unitarianism could control everything and thereby make man despicable. Civil War was fought by the South to maintain that historical social and moral order. But the war between the states broke the back of that influence. Unitarianism began to dominate in the South, forced to fall by the bayonet. And then by the first part of the 20th century, it started being adopted voluntarily and willingly in school, in seminaries. Seminaries were where the preachers were going to learn the truth. Columbia Seminary, Union Seminary, places like that. But as we enter the 20th century, the seminaries and the universities put less and less emphasis on maintaining the truth and more emphasis on theological innovation and on making sure that the universities and the seminaries were known for intellectualism. So they started adopting things like Darwinism and various other things. I went to Columbia Theological Seminary, which is one of the biggest, most prestigious, oldest seminaries of the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America. Liberal. But at one time was great. One time it had such people as James Henley Thornwell teach at it.
Oh, yeah. What a great man of God he was.
But not anymore. I had a systematic theology teacher.
You mean, when you said not anymore, you meant the seminary, not J.H. Thornwell.
Yeah, right, seminary. I had a professor of systematic theology. I think he's dead now, but he took great pride in the fact that he had never read one book by Warfield.
Wow.
And he also said in my class, he said, I don't care what the Bible says, I want to know what God says. Now, that is an important sentence, as stupid as it sounds, because that's the heart of modern liberalism as it's trying to influence Christianity. Karl Barth, a German theologian, Swiss German theologian, wrote a book on Romans in the early part of the 20th century. That was a nuclear bomb. Old 19th century liberalism that was pure rationalism was icy cold and was becoming weak. And so Barth decided he was going to continue to teach this rationalistic liberalism, but he was going to give it another face. What he was going to do was take the language of the Bible and reinterpret it by existentialist philosophy.
Now, let's pick up right there where you left off when we returned from our midway break. And just don't forget, you were explaining Barth's theology. And if you want to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of the ReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York,
and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And with Christmas coming up before you know it, you can help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by purchasing jewelry for someone you love or some folks, plural, that you love from royaldiadem.com. The reason being is not only does royaldiadem.com automatically every month provide us with financial support, but on top of that, royaldiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, simply if that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from royaldiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock or having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please, if you're looking for the most beautiful, most gorgeous, breathtaking, head-turning piece of jewelry for a loved one for Christmas, and you want to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at the same time, purchase that jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, and our conversation on traitors to the Reformation who claim to be its heirs, on this Reformation Day 2025. Before I return to that conversation, I need to remind you folks, as I said at the very beginning of today's program, Iron Sharpens Zion Radio really needs urgently your financial help. We are entering tomorrow into the final 2 months of 2025, and it's going to be a rough time for us because we have lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which is Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who not only was just such a wonderful, faithful source of the best in Christian literature at reasonable prices, but on top of that, they were a really large financial supporter of this program, and they have sadly and quite tragically closed their doors permanently just several weeks ago, and we lost that income from them. So please, folks, if you have not yet donated to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and yet you love the show, or perhaps it's been a long time since you've donated to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, or perhaps you already give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, but you can afford to increase your giving. Whichever the case may be, please help us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, like some people do, sending a physical check at your post office to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your check, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia does, well, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Whether it's your church you want to advertise, or your parachurch ministry, or your business, or your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event. As long as what you want to advertise is compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And keep in mind, folks, as much as I have been talking about the urgent need for your financial help, I never want anybody to ever give your own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, don't bless us by cutting in to the finances you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church. Please don't do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. But if you do love the show, and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please, if you want us to continue to exist, share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, please send me an email. No matter where you live in the world, send me an email and put, "I need a church" in the subject line, and maybe I can help you find a church that's biblically faithful near you, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, as I have done with people in our audience already spanning the globe. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put, "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And be patient, Andrew, in Brooklyn, New York. You will be the first questioner whose question I read after Dr. Moorcraft finishes what he was beginning to say about Jacob Arminius. No, I'm sorry. It was about Karl Barth. Karl Barth.
Yes, when the church entered the 20th century, it was depressed because of World the Civil War. It was discouraged. There was pessimism emotionally. And so when it ended the 20th century, it left some of its most powerful culture-changing doctrines back in the 19th century, like the sovereignty of God's grace, the victory of Christ's kingdom, the abiding authority of God's law in the Bible. Those were common themes prior to the 20th century. But up through the first half of the 20th century, though there were some great scholars, there were not many people that preached the great truth that changed culture with the Protestant Reformation and thereafter. And so the church was intimidated by the intellectualism and the scholarship of the liberals that took over the universities. So in the 1920s, when Karl Barth came upon the scene, they thought, well, here's our savior. Here's our rescue. This guy believes the truth, which in fact, he didn't believe the truth at all. He reinterpreted the Bible through the eyes of existentialist philosophy. Existentialism is a philosophy that believes that life is basically irrational. Christianity believes that life is rational because God is rational, because God is a living, thinking person. And what we know about God, we find in the Bible. We dare not put our own opinions of God on par with what God says about himself in his word. So the Christians became intimidated. They gave a weak attempt at defense in a series of books in the early part of the 20th century called The Fundamentals. And they were written by evangelicals who believed the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth, the atoning death of Christ. Most of them were not really Calvinists, but there were some great Calvinists that wrote for them, like Benjamin Warfield. But as opposed to Warfield and people like that, these people said, we just can't afford and keep up with defending the truth at all points. So let's be willing to compromise and negotiate, and let's just pick about three or four or five of the basic fundamentals of Scripture, like the virgin birth, the atoning death of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the second coming, and then let's don't try to defend any of the other doctrines of the Bible. Let's just be negotiable concerning all those things. They forgot the truth is not negotiable. And also they developed a view, the Presbyterians particularly, Southern Presbyterians developed a view after the Civil War by some preachers in Kentucky who got tired of trying to defend slavery in the South, and they started teaching the spirituality of the church. That is, that the church is not to preach on anything culturally in the pulpit. It is not to apply the Word of God to politics. It's not to apply the Word of God to social issues, moral issues, public issues. It is simply to speak on spiritual, hyper-spiritual things. When that happened, it left the arena. It left the battlefield, and that vacuum was filled by people who did not believe the Bible at all, even though they professed that they did. So in the 1920s or thereabouts, Karl Barth comes forward to rescue liberalism. Now, what you'll read about in history books of Christian church in America in the 20th century is that he saved us from liberalism. But that is not the case. He saved liberalism because what he did was use our language, use biblical language, and redefine it with this irrationalism, this existentialism, that is the opposite of everything Christianity is. So, Bart, in redefining things, I refer to the Bible as the witness to the Word of God. Well, that sounds good. I mean, the Bible uses the word witness, and he says the Bible's the Word of God. So that's good. The liberals never said things like that. until you think about praise, a witness to the Word of God. The Bible is a witness to the Bible. The Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible, the writers of the Bible are bearing witness to the Word of God, which is contentless, which does not come in sentences and words and paragraphs, but which hits you like a lightning bolt, and then leaves it up to you to determine what that lightning bolt meant to you. So you are a witness of the Word of God, so now you are left up to define what the Word of God means. Well, that means the authority of the writers of the Bible are no greater than my authority. That's the same thing I try to do, is understand and explain the Word of God. But I believe the Word of God is full of content and words and sentences that are meaningful to God as well as to us. So Bart, the evangelicals, jumped on Bart's bandwagon. If you were to criticize, even to this day, by many evangelicals, if you were to criticize Karl Barth, you'd be criticized yourself for this great, great savior from liberalism. But he, by interpreting Christianity into the lens of existentialism, he destroyed Christianity. He was a universalist. He did not believe that the Bible was the authoritative Word of God, but a witness to the Word of God. So now in the 20th century, you have in Presbyterian churches, and Reformed churches, you have this Barthianism that people claim to be true. We dare not criticize him because he is a faithful man of God who continues to write books defending the Word of God until 1941. 1941, a man named Cornelius Van Til wrote a book called Christianity or Barthianism. And oh, was he criticized for daring to make Barthianism something other than Christianity.
Now, just out of curiosity, is this book by Van Til reasonably easy to understand? Because many people in my audience have complained that Van Til is just too difficult for them to read.
Well, I probably would agree with him. It's reasonable, but not easy.
Okay.
But preachers should read it at least. Van Til said, Barthianism is not simply restating Christianity. Barthianism is not Christianity.
Wow.
My old professor, who was the one good professor at Columbia Seminary, studied under Warfield, was in Warfield's last class, and I had his last class. Name was William Charles Robinson. Great man. Man of Truth wrote his biography and published some of his sermons recently. William Charles Robinson. And when he retired, he gave me some of his books. And I looked in one of the books, and there was a letter. And in the letter was addressed to William Charles Robinson, from a famous Scottish Barthian named Tom Thorpe, 1941. And in this book, the letter said, Dear Dr. Robinson, who is this young up-and-coming jack donkey named Van Til? And so it was Van Til that showed the world Bart is a threat, not friend. But the church continued to move. It was already committing synthesis from all sides, all kinds of influences, emotionalism, subjectivism, rationalism, humanism, Unitarianism, Barthianism. It was being prostituted on all sides. The seminaries, including the ones that are supposed to be reformed, like Reformed Seminary and Westminster Seminary, are nowhere near what they were when they were started years ago. That now you have the infiltration of wokeism and cultural Marxism. And if anybody's not acquainted with those words, I would encourage them to get the book Fault Lines by my dear friend now in heaven, Bodhidharma.
Amen.
Fault Lines. If you want to know what wokeism is, if you don't know what wokeism is, you're going to be sucked into what they're telling you. They're going to make you feel guilty for not believing it, and you're going to get sucked in because they are brilliant at propaganda and deceit. And they want to do what the French Revolution did, and that is free America from its historical Christianity and from the law of God. And so if you want a book that understands what it means to be woke, you have professors that are reformed and Westminster that are woke. They believe in cultural Marxism to one degree or another. And that's been, particularly through Biden and Obama's years, has been one of the major influences on the Christian church, diluting the Christian church. I know men that once were staunch defenders and propagators of historic Westminster Confession Calvinism, who might still believe the doctrine, but they also believe in wokeism, that is, that America is systematically racist, that white men, particularly, are the oppressors, and they've gotten the power to rule on the backs of non-white people. And so now it is the responsibility and the duty of non-white people to overthrow the oppressors and to take their place. It is Marxist through and through. Marxism is always the philosophy brought war. It's a war between the oppressor and the oppressed, and the oppressed must try to overthrow the oppressor. And that has showed itself in another influence of synthesis on the modern church called liberation theology. Liberation theology is also an attempt to blend Christian words with Marxist content. I wrote a book on liberation theology that's available free. Go to my website, Heritage Presbyterian Church, to free resources, and there'll be a PDF file of that book. It's called Liberation Theology, A Prelude to Revolution. I had that book published in South Africa. And it is an attempt to, and it's basically you're working out the principles of Marxism. Marxism said you must reinterpret Christianity by existentialism. And so the liberation theologian said, well, we'll practice the same method of trying to blend Christianity with Marxism. And it's always this attempt at synthesis. Let's redefine communism, and the words of communism are not powerful enough to change culture. So without even intending to do so, these liberation theologians and philosophers have impressed the world with the power of Christianity because they have to use our word. They can't use their words, the communistic philosophical phrases, they're not powerful enough. They've got to use our words. And then once they've captured us by their words, then they've got us because we're not discerning enough or smart enough to see what they're really selling us as Marxism. There used to be a book for young people on liberation theology, and on the front of it was Jesus on the cross. But if you look carefully, the cross is made up of two AK-47s.
Huh.
Those are Russian assault rifles. So you've got to be discerning. Not only know the truth, know what's right, be able to distinguish right from wrong, and be able to distinguish right from almost right.
Amen.
And to do that, you have to have a biblical worldview. You have to be solid in your theology. And the best way I know that is to get a Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechism, read it, read commentaries on it. Get your teacher children the Shorter Catechism. If you're a Reformed Baptist, get the London Confession of 1689. Teach it to your children and the Shorter Catechism, and make sure that they go out into the cultural war well-armed to fight the Lord's battles. I believe that the godliest generation of Israelite was the generation that Joshua led into the promised land. Moses had died, and now Joshua was in charge, and he led them into the promised land with the Canaanites and occupied it and built a culture there. And that first generation that went with him, I think, was the most faithful generation. The second generation, they were marrying Canaanites. The third generation, they were worshiping Canaanite gods. How did it happen? That the godliest generation lost the truth in their children and grandchildren. They failed to teach their children that they were in a war and that the enemy was on all sides.
Mm.
And they could not compromise one iota with the philosophies of this world. They could not imitate their religious practices. They could not imitate their ethics. They could not imitate their worldview. They were to be inflexible when it came to biblical morality and biblical justice. They failed to teach the second generation that we're involved in a war for our culture and for our children and their future.
Well, I have two listener questions.
Yes, sir.
And they are both connected, even though I don't think that these people know each other. They're from different states. They might know each other. I'm just not aware of that. But they are both asking questions that have to do with a subject that I've brought up. In fact, I think it might have even been a topic you and I discussed. But I know I've discussed it on a number of occasions with several different guests. And that is the dangers of right-wing ecumenism. And some who take some of the very words that you just said and twist them to mean that we are to link arms spiritually with those that reject the gospel and maybe even adamantly oppose the gospel. So let me read these questions one by one. This is from, first of all, from Andrew in Brooklyn, New York. He is quoting somebody. I'm not going to mention my name because this person isn't on the show to perhaps further explain his own words in case he might think we are taking them out of context. So I will read the quote, though. I just won't mention who it was. And by the way, just this person whose quote I am about to read from Andrew in Brooklyn, he had a conference recently, and this is a Reformed pastor. He had a conference recently where he invited to speak at this conference an Anglo-Catholic who vehemently hates Calvinism. Just because
I know all about him.
Okay. Well, anyway, here we go. This is Andrew in Brooklyn. What do you think of this recent tweet? It's 2025. If you're a Protestant who thinks Catholics are the biggest enemy, you are a fool. All of Western civilization is invaded by Muslims, captured by Jews, perverted by sodomites, ruled by women. Our civilization is collapsing. Get a clue. And Andrew from Brooklyn goes on now to say in his own words, as someone who lives in New York, where I'm surrounded by Roman Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses, I've even seen Mormon missionaries, there is nothing more destructive to civilization than a gospel that does not save. Furthermore, societal collapse is happening largely in places and areas dominated by Roman Catholicism. Remember, it was Catholic Massachusetts that was the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. So what is your response to that quote that Andrew cited and the rest of what Andrew said, Andrew from Brooklyn?
Well, Roman Catholicism, as I said just a few minutes ago, does not have the Bible gospel. It threw it away when it threw away Augustine so many years ago. But people think that today the Roman Catholic Church is not as bad as it was in the days of the Reformation. It's worse. They have some doctrines today in the Roman Catholic Church they didn't have during the Reformation. For instance, the infallibility of the Pope. In the days of the Reformation, they didn't have that doctrine. They considered the Pope to be high and mighty and the head of the Church, but the official doctrine of the supremacy of the infallibility of the Pope whenever he spoke ex cathedra is a doctrine of the 19th century.
Right.
So I think that the Roman Catholic Church is even a greater enemy than it was back in the days of the Reformation. Yeah, the Roman Catholic Church, I would consider to be an enemy of the gospel, and unless it repents of and asks forgiveness for the murder of tens and tens of thousands of Protestants in the 16th century, burning at the stake, killing. And so throughout history, the Roman Church has been no friend to God's grace and to God's gospel and to the truths of Holy Scripture and the whole system of theology. You know, the Bible is not just a collection of doctrines unrelated to each other that you just pick out one doctrine, talk about it, then pick another one out. That the Bible is a whole system of theology, to use the word of Thomas Jopp Watson, a body of divinity, that it's full of revealed truths that are related to each other. They flow into each other or flow out of each other. And one of the greatest studies that you can make that will bring on maturity in your faith is not only to learn the biblical doctrines, but also to learn the way they relate to each other and their impact upon culture. And what has been a great help to me is the Westminster Confession of Faith. I read it many times. I don't put it on par with the Bible in any way, shape, or form. But I do believe that it represents biblical Christianity in its purest human expression. Today, we have people who go under the name conservative reformed, who say that one of the biggest problems today in the advance of Christianity is the Westminster Confession of Faith, or by implication, the London Baptist Confession. The Westminster Confession of Faith is one of our biggest problems because it is simply the Hellenizing of biblical truth. That is, that the Westminster Confession of Faith is a writing of biblical truths in terms of Greek philosophy. Now, that's a conservative Calvinist, I know. And it's not just him, it's others. The Confession of Faith and their catechism are blending of Greek philosophy, taking our truths and redefining them in terms of Greek philosophy.
And to be crystal clear on this, you are adamantly opposing the individuals making these claims.
I consider them the enemies of the gospel. And they are famous names. And so once you allow synthesis to begin, unless you oppose it and you emphasize the truth and understand the truth and teach the truth and expose falsehood, it's going to continue to blend. I like what John Owen said about sin, and you could say this about false doctrine. Two things. Number one, he said, you must always be at killing sin. because it is always at killing you. And you can say that about false doctrine or blended doctrines as well. And then he said another great thing. He said, sin always aims at the worst sin. That when you allow sinful desires to go on in your heart, and you don't repent of them and deal with them and mortify them and put them to death, then they're going to continue until they move you to commit the works of sin, so that these desires eventually become actions. I've had young men come to my office through the years who were dedicated Christians, but who did not take those things seriously. They did not hate sin seriously enough. They did not loathe themselves for sinning. And so they'd come into my office, knowledgeable young men, crying, saying, Mr. Moorcraft, I never thought that I would ever go this far in evil. And what John Owen said about sin is what we can say about false doctrine. Once you let it in, once you don't deal with it, once you tolerate it, once you're not able to desert it, you will continue to change, and you'll believe another false doctrine until you'll take another step until you can say to yourself when you wake up, I never thought I would go this far. So that even today, in conservative reformed churches, some of the leading reformed theologians, like John Twain of Westminster Seminary and Wayne Grudem and many others, have publicly criticized the Westminster Confession of Faith, and not only the Confession of Faith, but 2,000 years of Christianity. They walked away from some basic doctrines that not just Presbyterians believe, but that go all the way back to the early creeds of the church. And that is this, and I'll oversimplify it. No, I'll be accused of being oversimplified. But I will put it in simple terms as I can. One of my sons, graduated from college, I went to the baccalaureate. And they had a famous evangelical there giving the baccalaureate speech. And he said this about God, quote, when God loves you, it transforms him.
Wow.
Now, what these men believe, that there are some attributes in God that are unchangeable, and there are some that are not. Like, for instance, when God enters into fellowship with man, it affects man, and it also affects God.
Wow.
Whereas the Bible says that God is the completionist, both. Says the Bible is, God is completely blessed. That is, God is self-sufficient. He stands in need of nothing he has made. He loves himself supremely. And he cannot be affected by anything outside of him.
In fact, let's pick up right where you left off there about the immutability of God. And we'll also take a question when we come back from Brandon in Ringgold, Georgia, B-R-A-N-D-Y-N.
I know Brandon.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, he has a question that's very good when we come back. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Attention all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners. There is no doubt we are living in difficult times. Our country is facing out-of-control government spending, a looming trade war, a race towards a traceable digital currency, and the growing BRICS alliance, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. All signs are pointing to major shifts in the global economy. More and more countries are dumping the U.S. dollar, and that should be a wake-up call. That's why I urge you to call my friends at Gold Wealth Management, advertisers here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are offering free, no-obligation reports on market conditions, the BRICS threat, the future of digital currency, and how to protect your wealth with physical gold and silver. Do you already own physical gold or silver, but were never fully educated and still have questions? Maybe you're unsure how it fits into your overall plan. Call for a free evaluation and educational call with the team at Gold Wealth Management. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. Don't guess. Don't delay. Get the information you need to make a sound, informed decision. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. That's Gold Wealth Management.
And don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. We're talking about traitors to the Protestant Reformation who claim to be heirs of the Reformation. And if you could pick up on the immutability of God, which you began discussing before as one of the things being attacked by modern, professedly conservative and even reformed Christians.
Yes, sir. The Westminster Confession of Faith and London Baptist Confession say that God is eternal and unchangeable, without body, parts, or passion, that he's blessed. Now, to say that God is blessed is to say, in simple words, that he is as happy in himself as he can be, and that nobody outside or nothing of him outside can increase or decrease that happiness. And so there's a movement now that denies that basic principle. And I think one of the most important books written in the past 50 years is by a Reformed Baptist named Dolezal, D-O-L-E-Z-A-L. And it's called All That Is In God. And that's the first half of a quote from Augustine that says, all that is in God is God. The Bible teaches that God is his perfections, and God is love, God is holy. So that if we, his perfections cannot change. If they change, then it's God that's changing, and God does not change. Dolezal is also has all kinds of YouTube things. So go to YouTube, look up D-O-L-E-Z-A-L, listen to as many as you can. It's not the easiest reading, but it is right at the heart and soul of Christianity.
Okay, we have Brandon in Ringgold, Georgia, who says, Mr. Arnzen, when seeking to build local coalitions for the purpose of coordinating for Christian action in various areas of local culture and society, what are some non-negotiables which, if not agreed upon, should necessarily require foregoing partnerships. For example, theonomic view of the law, postmillennialism, confessional subscription, etc. So, Dr. Moorcraft, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, that is a very important question, and I'm glad Brandon asked it. Truth is non-negotiable. Christian ethics is inflexible. And whenever we have various movements that are like pro-life, et cetera, I think that they must be upon biblical principles. Abortion is murder. And if the woman willingly commits abortion, she is a murderer. And everybody that participated and encouraged and paid for, including whoever drove her to the abortion clinic, is a murderer. And we must not compromise in any of those issues. Many of the pro-life of the organizations of the country, to Right to Life issues, they're compromised. Georgia Right to Life is the best one in the country. It's Georgia Right to Life. The executive director is a woman named Zimmy Fleck, who was my secretary for 18 years. And they are built upon exclusive biblical principles, and they're very effective. Now, if somebody who doesn't want to believe those, doesn't believe those principles, wants to donate money, hey, that's perfectly okay. When I ran for Congress, I had a atheistic woman who tried her best to get me elected to Congress. So I asked her one time, I said, "Miss So-and-so, why are you, an atheist, trying to elect me, a Christian, to Congress?" She said, "Because the liberals are stealing me blind and you will preserve my wealth." So if an atheist wants to vote for me, that's her problem, not mine. If somebody wants, for instance, Abraham Kuyper, as great as he was, now hurry through this. Abraham Kuyper was one of the greatest of the greats in history. He became prime minister of after being a preacher and a professor and starting a university and a newspaper and starting a Christian denomination in Holland. Wrote a great book called Lectures on Calvinism that he gave at Princeton University. Abraham Kuyper got elected prime minister of Holland in the very early part of the 20th century. And his party was called the Anti-Revolutionary Party, meaning Anti-French Revolution Party. Didn't want any of the principles of French atheism to influence Holland. But the only way he could get elected was by a coalition with other groups. And so that he had to coalesce with them, and also had to compromise, maybe that's too big a word, or not emphasize that much great truths. I think that compromise is out of the picture. We can't compromise the truth. So that when we start various things and do various things, anybody that wants to help us or support us can, but we're not going to compromise any of our truths. There was a political party that I helped start many years ago with Howard Phillips, who was a great man, and it's called the Constitution Party. When it first started, it was called something like the Taxpayers Party, and it was built on biblical principles, solid biblical principles. But then there were a lot of Mormons who wanted to get involved and participate and include their principles along with ours. And there was a vote taken. And the vote was at one of the conventions. The vote was that Mormons should have a say in the Constitution Party. When he did that, I lost all interest.
Well, we're out of time, brother, and I want to make sure that our listeners have your website, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. and click on free resources. I want to thank you so much, Joe, for just being so superb as you always are. And I want you all to have a wonderful, safe, blessed, joyful, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.